friends, and welcome once again to everybody's favorite therapy-themed podcast. I'm Sarah Rice, and with me, as always, is the best therapist you've ever seen on TikTok, or maybe ever in the whole entire land.
This is
Therapy Jeff.
Yes.
Hi, Therapy Jeff.
The internet's therapist. I'm here.
The internet's therapist. You are the people's therapist. I got a text message from a friend of mine who was going through some relationship stuff, and he's like sending me links to your videos. And I'm like, yeah, I know. He's like, right? This one blew my mind. I'm like, I should say I'm joking. If you're listening, which I know he is, I love it. It's great. I'm like, yeah, I talk to him all the time. Listen to our show.
We're best buds. Mm-hmm. Yes. No big deal. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I am still making so much content. I have no idea how I do it.
I don't know how you do it.
2 videos a day. It's just become like my full-time job, basically. Just like making content. My little routine is like when I wake up in the morning, I don't get out of bed until I've like written 2 to 3 scripts.
Okay.
And then I allow myself to get out of bed and get ready in the morning, and then I eat breakfast, and then I record those videos, 2 or 3 videos, and I just go about my day.
That's a really good. Guys, ladies and gentlemen, behind the scenes,
right?
With Therapy Jeff, everybody wants to know how the magic like is created and what happens.
It's also helpful to be a Capricorn. Because I feel like I'm so organized and goal-oriented. I'm very stubborn with my schedule. Like, I could just get the fuck out of bed and not have to write. But I'm just like, no, this is what I decided I'm going to do. And I'm going to keep on doing it until I can't do it anymore.
But it's such a good habit that you created, because it's a very unavoidable cue that you have. That waking up is something you're going to do every day. And the habit is formed with, like, a cue, the action, and then the reward. So you got the cue, and the action is recording it, and the reward is like getting your work done early.
Yeah, and it feels very satisfying.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh man, I might have to like steal a page out of your book and just like decide what am I going to do before I get out of bed. Because let's face it, we're all laying in bed during the time. Wasting time.
Yeah, but I am being productive and making you feel guilty about just scrolling on your phone, doing nothing, absolutely nothing. I'm already working.
It's kind of like how I feel when I go to the 6 a.m. yoga class, and the yoga instructor's always like, look at you here on your mat while everyone else is asleep. And I'm like, yeah, look at me. Way better than everyone.
Exactly.
I'm just kidding. I'm not thinking that, but like,
well, you're feeling it a little bit.
And yeah, I am. Know it's motivating.
I don't care. And even maybe it's like totally motivated by capitalism, and that's a really big problem, but I don't care. Yeah. I don't care. I'm giving into it.
Yeah,
it's capitalism, baby.
Speaking of yoga class, I went to this yoga class. Like, we were talking a lot about last week about, you know, all the kinky stuff and, you know, what people are into. And I went to this yoga class where this yoga instructor, it was the best class I've ever been to. It's not like she yelled, but she said everything with such an assertive tone that it didn't feel like I had an option of like forward fold, halfway lift, chaturanga. I was like, yes, ma'am. And I was like equally like worked out and turned on during this.
That's exactly.
I looked over to my friend and I was like, oh, I think I'm in love.
Yes. That's what you want to experience in a fitness class or a yoga class. Yeah.
And then I got like a little alert on my Apple Watch that said I had burned the most calories of any, like I'd gone harder than any yoga workout. I was like, yeah, because my heart was beating all extra fast. Right. Yeah. So that was my little share from this weekend.
I love that. Yeah, that's great.
Yeah. Should we dive right into our sexy topic this week? It's part two, it's going to be like part 1 million. Like, this is what we like to talk about. Come on.
Yeah. But yeah, we did a sexy episode last week. We're continuing the sexy episode because we got so many questions. So we're going to go into detail with a handful of questions, and then we're going to challenge Sarah towards the last third of this episode and do a speed round.
I love that you say challenge Sarah, because like, we all know you can control yourself, and I can't. Like, And I tried to remember to take my meds this morning. I didn't. So this is going to be a fun one.
Nice. All right.
Well, let's dive right in.
Where should we start? Yeah.
Question number one. First question here. How do you feel about switching up gender roles in bed?
I mean, are they asking us personally how we feel about switching up gender roles? I'm pro switching up gender roles and in bed. But I'd like to be like really playful and I'm more of a switch, I guess, is what the kids okay. are calling it these days. Like, are you a top or a bottom or are you a switch? I'm more of a switch. Although I lean top, like I lean more dom mm-hmm. instead mm-hmm. of like submissive, but I'll mm-hmm. play whatever role you want me to play. I'm totally down. What about you?
I kind of hear that different because I see gender roles separate. Oh,
yeah. See, I'm being problematic. Good call, Sarah. Yes.
Yeah. From dominant or submissive. Mm-hmm. You know, I see gender roles more as like my mind goes to like playing with costumes or outfits or
yes.
names or fantasies mm-hmm. or mm-hmm. even like sex toys. And you know, I have a friend who does research on the sexual activities of evangelicals. I believe that's what it is. Got her like PhD in that. It's a friend of Susie's who's, and anybody who's a friend of my friend Susie from the Brain Candy podcast is a friend of mine. Sure. So, yeah, that's what she did her research on. And there's far more pegging out there than I ever would ever guess or imagine. So I know that's not necessarily maybe in that same, you know, category, but maybe.
I mean, it's all kind of
connected and
gray areas and yeah. nuance. So, yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of these things, what feels so validating or what I want our listeners to know is that a lot of the things, or what I hope they get from these episodes, is that a lot of the things that they're like living in shame about or like worrying about are things that are happening to way more people and are way more common, or mm-hmm. even like likes and interests or dislikes, whatever it is. There is somebody out there who has jerked off to it.
Yes, there are. There's like so many kinky communities that yeah. are formed around your thing that you're not quite sure if you should feel okay about. Like, mm-hmm. there's so much out there.
You will feel so vanilla if you go to any like kink community mm-hmm. event.
Mm-hmm.
Go like just watch some video of the Folsom Street Fair in San Francisco. Like, oh. Mm. Yeah, I'm pretty regular. I'm pretty normal. Mm-hmm. There's no normal. Everybody's yeah, fine. Yeah,
exactly.
So,
yeah. So like we're cool. We're down. But you should like ask your partner how they feel about it. And remember, it's not just about getting consent, but it's about getting like enthusiastic, explicit yes. consent whenever you want to like play around with something. And whenever you like bring anything up, whether it's like playing around with gender roles or playing around with ropes or being a little dom or sub, like you're going to want to bring it up in like a really sweet, curious, kind of open way instead of like, why don't you do this? Like, what is wrong with you? You can yes. be like, ooh, can I tell you about a fantasy? Like, yes. I'm really into something. You want to hear about it? So it's like a fun little sexy secret that you're going back and forth with yes. instead of like, I'm so disappointed this isn't happening and I can't stand it anymore vibe. Like, that's not a good way to go in, right?
Yeah. We want mm-hmm. somebody to feel enthusiastic and want to participate in whatever mm-hmm. and like buy what you're selling. Come on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. It's like
the pressured sale never works.
No.
Yeah. Once I went car shopping with a friend and the guy selling the car was like, well, I guess you wasted your whole day when we didn't buy it. And I was like,
whoa,
guess who I'm not buying a car from? Or like, yeah, we are taking our business elsewhere, with. Sir. Yeah, but I was like, no. You don't get to tell me what I did with my day, whether this was a waste or not. Yeah. So, you know, you don't want to do that. That no. car salesman version.
No, we don't want to do that.
Sell your partner out to no. the fun and stuff.
Also, if you do want to do something and your partner reacts to it in a really like a, whoa, I don't know about that sort of way, maybe just drop it then. Maybe be like, hey, like, I'd love to tie you up. And if they're like, oh God, I don't know about that. You don't have to like pressure them into think like you're just, but it's about planting the seed. They're going to remember that you're into tying them up. They're going to think about it. They're going to like research it on their own. They're going to like go through whatever process they need to go through. And then if they want to bring it up, then they'll bring it up again. It's not something that you have to badger someone with, you know?
It makes it no fun. No. Good.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
All right, next question. I like this one. My partner is much more sexually experienced. I know it shouldn't matter, but what should I do?
Oh, what do you think, Sarah?
This is... There is a feeling. I mean, I felt it myself. I hear this so often that, like, I don't know what to do or I've not done enough. This almost was like the feeling growing up like a teenage girl was like, damned if you do, damned if you don't. Where it's like, I want them to be really good at everything, but don't have sex or all that. So, and it just creates it. It's terrible. So it's so important to remember that experience means jack shit.
Yeah.
Nothing.
No.
Somebody doing the same terrible thing over and over and over. You can have experience. Like, there's this meme floating around of like a bunch of those like, white college guys with the polo shirts and the khaki shorts. And like, it says like this photo just rubbed the outside of my labia for 2 minutes and asked me if I came. Like, and I'm like, that is so accurate. Cause like the people who are having a bunch of sex are often not having the best sex. So don't equate experience for expertise or ability. And everybody and everybody is different. And like up, up, down, right, BA star works in for one person, but is not going to work for the next. And it's just, you're going to have to learn and explore. And if you come to that, look to answer that question with some curiosity rather than apprehension or fear, like what feels good to them? Like you get to just ask them.
Mm-hmm.
The answer is right in front of you.
Look at that. I love that answer.
Is that like, that was my little monologue.
Being inexperienced,
but not worrying about it because it doesn't matter.
Exactly. You can be the most experienced person in the world, whatever that means. You can be super experienced and then be like with somebody new and they have a completely different body that has. And whenever I'm like with somebody that's new, I'm just like, okay, these are the ways I've learned like the different ways that my body works in ways that like other bodies typically work. Like I know what my differences are basically. Compared to everybody else, I think. And now
that's
that I've
really good.
So I'm just, hey, I'm like, okay, this is, here's a little roadmap in order to like please me and my body. And it's so handy. So there's sort of like, the thing that I like about like people that are quote unquote experienced is that they know their bodies really well. Mm-hmm. And you don't have to like have sex with a bunch of people in order to know your body really well. You can explore your own body and then you can just tell me what works for you so that I have like a better understanding and also tell me what doesn't work for you so that I know where those boundaries are and I'm not going to like cross anything that's funky.
Even with being experienced in sex, like I had a lot of sex. Did it with people. I was like, yeah, fine. Mm-hmm. Did that.
Mm-hmm.
I did not know my body, nor, and even more than that, I never felt like I was in a relationship where I could talk about what felt good or give, I don't know, input. Or I just felt like ashamed of saying that doesn't feel good or giving instruction. And because of that, I never got to feel really good in doing that. Like, I didn't even get, and I didn't even know how to communicate what felt good to my partner. It honestly isn't until the relationship that I am in currently where I have had a partner that's been curious enough to want to explore that with me and has been like, oh, actually, this is what, like, this seems like this is what really responds to. And it was different than even I had in my head. I was like, oh, actually go back to what you thought you should do, because that was correct. What I thought is not it. So like I'm like learning with my partner how to communicate to them what feels good to me. And that has nothing to do with, I was married. Like,
right.
You know, I wasn't like a virgin coming into this. Mm-hmm. So it really is person to person, and it can be so fun to learn about what feels good if you to another person, to your partner, if you take away the fear that you don't know already, or that kind of like anxiety of not already knowing what feels good to them, because who does?
Right. You know what, Sarah? I feel like there might be another way to read this question. The question is, my partner is much more sexually experienced. I know it shouldn't matter, but what should I do? Can you read this in a way where it's just like, I don't like that my, like, there's, like, almost like I'm judging them for being so sexually experienced. Like, their number is too high. And I don't know if that, I originally thought it was the way that you interpreted it, but now I'm looking at it being like,
no, now I think maybe you're right. Mm-hmm. Which is a totally different question.
Like, they're judging their partner for having so much sex.
What do you think about that?
I mean, also not a fan of that. Like, I don't think that you should judge someone for having a lot of experience or having a lot of sex with other people. But there is like, there is this sort of like cultural, societal, whatever message that's being sent that like you sort of like already talked about a bit, like that women shouldn't have a lot of sexual experience because that makes them really slutty or something, and that's not okay. And maybe if like a dude has a lot of sexual experience, then maybe they're like some of their dude friends might think that's really cool, but it also might be like, oh, you're sort of like really getting out there and doing it with a lot of people, and maybe I should be like conscious of that or a little worried about that or something.
I'd want to explore what is the meaning that they have of someone who has, quote unquote, like a lot of sex or is experienced sexually. Mm-hmm. What meaning do you hold with that? Is it like, because some of the people that are having casual sex are practicing the safest sex and are doing it in a way where they're taking care of their, you know, I always say like porn stars are the ones who are getting the most STD tests, and they're like really, because it's their livelihood. They really make sure that they are taking care of their sexual health. And so I would want to explore like what it means. Does it about somebody if that's the case? Is it rooted in some sort of like religious ideology or
what does it mean and how can you let it go?
Because
it doesn't matter. But also we want to like validate your experience of it, you know. So I think we interpreted it the right way.
Yeah.
At the beginning, though. But just wanted to throw that out there.
All these questions making me a little hungry. Let's take a time out and talk about one of my favorite sponsors from us, nuts.com.
Sarah, do you like cashews?
Yes.
Gummy bears?
Actually,
olives?
No. I'll be honest. Cashews, not my favorite. But this is what proves that there really is something for everyone. Because cashews, not for me. But their roasted almonds, totally for me. And let me tell you, Eli got some from a place that I will not name the other day. And he's like, in a pinch, we were out of roasted almonds, or maybe they were peanuts. They were garbage. Ugh. There is a definite difference in where you get your nuts and all of your delicious dried fruits and like pantry staples. It really matters.
Popcorn, saltwater, taffy, trail mix, sesame sticks, dried fruit, chocolate covered, anything. Gummy bears is my favorite chocolate covered snack from nuts.com. Yeah, there's really, it's a one-stop shop. If you go to nuts.com and just click on all the very tasty things, and then they're delivered to you in these very adorable, cute packages that you can happily display on your kitchen counter. Everybody will be so impressed with you and want to come over and eat all your nuts. Do not let everyone else eat your nuts, because they're your nuts that you worked hard for and you shouldn't share with anybody else. It is, they've got roasted nuts, dried fruit, sweets, pantry staples. They even have specialty flours and more. Can you believe it, Sarah?
Yes, I actually just watched a video on what each of those specialty flours is for, and it really does make a difference.
Does it?
Yeah.
Can you tell me what the difference is?
Oh. Yeah. Cake flour has low protein, so it's going to be lighter and fluffier, and bread is going to be bread flour is going to be higher in protein. I think it's like 13% protein or so, and so it's going to be more dense and starchy, and which is what you want for bread. Yeah.
I had no idea, but I'm happy to know that nuts.com will cover you for all of your specialty flour needs. And I want to say that Sarah is correct. It does make a difference where you get your nuts from. And I always get the almonds from nuts.com. And it is top notch almonds. Those are like almonds are the best snack food.
Yeah, they really are. Like tasty and healthy.
Exactly.
It always makes me feel, I'm like, oh, look at me. I'm just grabbing a handful of almonds. So healthy.
Yes. Oh, God. We love to see it. So right now, you can go to nuts.com. They are offering new customers a free gift with purchase and free shipping on orders of $29 or more at nuts.com/TCE. So go check out all of the delicious options at nuts.com/TCE. You'll receive a free gift and free shipping when you spend $29 or more. That is nuts.com/TCE.
Okay. I'll ask this one.
Uh-huh.
Why, as a woman, can I only achieve orgasm in the AM? What gives?
You have an answer for this, don't you?
I do. I have a scientific answer for it.
I love it.
So this is a problem. It's not even a problem. This is just a evidence of your daily hormonal cycles. And our hormones change throughout the day. We have different levels of the hormones that make us want to have sex at different times of the day. So the testosterone levels in people with penises replenishes overnight and tends to be the highest in the morning and lowest at night. And estrogen levels in people with vulvas tend to be higher in the morning. And these higher hormone levels give you an increased libido in the morning.
Hmm.
Yeah. And also, you know, there's like this clearer mind that you have. A lot of it is just stress and maybe I should say provides like puts the brakes on wanting to have an orgasm or being able to achieve that. There's like a lot on your mind. Maybe by the end of the day, it's harder to get that, get to that place of being able to relax. And first thing in the morning, you got a clear head and your body's ready to go.
Yeah. Jump
That's
on it.
That's got to be biological. I mean, they were like, look, you guys are here. You should just do it.
Biology is like you're laying next to each other.
Yeah.
Might as well just get over with. Yeah, come on.
Uh-huh. And it like greases the wheel for you with a little like sexy dreams at night.
It does.
I mean, exactly. Yeah. So.
Uh-huh. Yeah. No, that's interesting. Do you experience feeling like?
Absolutely.
Do you? Yeah. So you're
morning
a fan of morning
sex. Morning is our time to do it. And Eli's always like, but not on Tuesdays and Thursdays because those are the days that Sarah records. And that's what she, like, he has like a whole speech. Like, cause, I don't know, we talked about this somehow in our friend group or something like that. Maybe I've talked about this for like, talked about what we're going to talk about on the show. And yeah, he's always like there. He knows what days are not good. Cause I'll just hop out of bed at 5:30 in the morning. I'm like, I got work to do. And those are the days he can't.
That's really funny.
And I also know if I want to lay in bed, I know exactly how to keep Eli in bed and keep him for. And if I don't want to go to the gym and work out, I know how to make it so he doesn't end up going to the gym and working out.
I love that. Yeah. Yeah. If
Do you find this
listening.
To be true for you?
Yeah. I encourage. Let's see. Yes, it is true for me. However, this little TMI. Probably.
Yes.
It is on one hand, yes. It is true for me that, like, I am ready to go and excited to do it in the morning. And I do think I have a much clearer mind. The day goes on, like, stupid shit builds up. I feel a little stressed here and there. And then, like, all of a sudden, sex is not as much of a priority anymore. However, my caveat is that, like, I like to do it in the morning, but it's harder to reach an orgasm for me in the morning and easier for me to do that as the day goes on. And I have no idea why that is. Ooh, do you want even more TMI?
Yeah.
Oh my God. So this was like a fear that I experienced for many, many years.
Yeah.
Starting when I was little, maybe around like, oh God, like third or fourth grade. So around third or fourth grade, oh, this is going to, okay, whatever. We're just going
to
keep going.
I talked last week about getting tied up and going to kinky parties. Okay. So what you got, Jeff?
About, I feel like this is something that I think I've only told this to two people. So now, like, telling this to like thousands of people listening, I want you to like somehow get in touch with me, guys. And let me know if you've experienced, or people with penises, please let me know. So when I was in like third or fourth grade, that's when I started having just like so many fucking boners, like could not do anything about it. Just like this little 9-year-old boy just being like, oh no, like that. And so like I would wake up in the night, in the middle of the night, with just like this huge fucking boner. And I'm like, and I don't even know like what to do with it. Cause I'm just like, who knows? And the thing that I would experience, that I experienced from when, like, around that age all the way until today, is that, like, sometimes I wake up and I'm so fucking hard that it's painful. And so, like, I started calling these things, like, pain boners.
Oh,
so,
no.
Just, like, it was so, it hurt so much. Like, it was just, like, the most intensely painful thing. So, then I would just, like, lay there, and I would just have to kind of, like, experience the pain. Even if I touched it, it was even more painful.
You can't even relieve yourself.
I can't even relieve myself.
This feels like, I hope you told a doctor about this.
I have never told a doctor. Doctors, if you're listening.
Because this makes me think that there's something with blood flow.
It's like this horrible, painful, like, experience. So this was happening for many, many years. And I was trying to, like...
And your body's... Well, this makes sense why you couldn't have a nocturnal emission, too.
Oh, yeah.
Because your body wakes you up before you could even... It's too painful for you to even sleep. This makes...
I'm also like a kid, and I don't want to tell like my mom or because that's just fucking embarrassing. I'm not telling my friends.
Does she even know about boners?
Yeah,
I don't even know.
There's like in fourth grade, there's no internet or like ChatGPT to be like, what the fuck is? So I guess this is what I experienced. Maybe everyone experiences it. I'm not sure. I'm not going to tell anybody about it. And so then I figure out maybe when I'm like 15 or 16. Of how to make it go away. So if anybody is experiencing this, you can use the approved Therapy Jeff formula to get rid of a pain boner, which is you can go to the bathroom and just like get yourself a cup of water and start drinking it. Try to get like really cold water. So drink really cold water, and then that sort of like calms down your system. And then it might feel like you can't do this, but you probably can do this. Try to go pee.
Okay.
And it's really hard to go pee if you have an erection. There's just like wires across. It doesn't really happen. But you can do it with a pain boner. So,
what?
Like, drink water.
Okay.
Go pee, which is a difficult thing to do when you're like really erect, right? Because you're just like, it's hard to aim and get it in there. But like... You can pee out a pain boner and then it goes away. I have no idea if everybody is just like, what the fuck?
I hope that from this, it'll be a gift because you will discover there's going
to
be
I need to start a campaign.
Not proctologists. What are the ones who what are the dick
the
ducks?
The opposite of a proctologist.
The other side. What the hell do you call
a pain boner doctor, I think is what they should be called. I don't know what a dick doctor is, but. It is such a... It doesn't happen as much to me anymore as a 42-year-old. You keep thinking about it, Sarah. You'll get there. But like... It is a really weird, bizarre thing. And you would think, like, just fucking masturbate. But like I
that's
said,
that's what I thought.
You can't. It feels.
See,
like,
I am not a proctologist or whatever the hell that doctor is that I can't think of.
No, it feels like my dick should be like even longer than it is, but like it can't grow any longer because there's just like the skin won't let it
it's
or let
like
it. It's just like pressure on the tip of my dick. It's horrible.
Ow. That seems awful.
I don't even know why how we got here, but you know what? Like
times of night and times of day, and why?
Right.
It's easier to have an orgasm at certain times.
For
of
some
day.
Reason, yeah. So I do not have sex
so
when I have a pain boner.
This is a good. This is like more evidence that there are a lot of biological factors that could be contributing. And so, what gives? Well, freaking A. Like a lot of things. Like or
exactly.
It's okay. And
it's okay.
You can use that to your advantage and then give yourself permission to not make having orgasm the goal of sex. Mm-hmm. If you want to have sex in the evening, you can do the old switcheroo and like maybe you got a partner like Jeff and you take care of him in the evening or something like that.
That's the thing. It's like, if I'm not going to like orgasm in the morning, just like, don't worry about me. I'm having a really good time. This feels awesome.
Yeah.
And we can do it later.
Yeah.
You know, I'm ready to go.
Mm-hmm. I'm so glad that you felt comfortable to share that story. It was like no big deal. Also, it's just like we said earlier in the episode, I'm like, Jeff, that I don't know what I was preparing myself for, but you, that was like not that bad. That was like,
it's
no
not
shame.
That
you
bad.
Should feel fine.
I feel fine. It's just like, I have no idea if other people, for some reason, I have not even Googled it. I don't even know what to fucking Google. So
pain boner. Cause that's
pain
not,
boner.
That's, don't
that's
Google
not
that.
A...
this is where amazing things happen, and so you will feel validated, like in the by sharing. This is the whole purpose of podcasts and these kind
exactly,
of things.
Yeah, and if a doctor is listening and they're like, "You need to go to the hospital right now or talk to somebody about this," please let me know. Yeah,
it's
diagnose
like
me.
That there was, I want to say it was a college football coach or basketball coach, who was, it was a college basketball coach, I think, and or maybe he was an assistant. He worked in some head of doesn't matter.
Yeah.
This woman who's in the stands was in nursing school or pre-med or something like that. We're going to make her a doctor for the story. She's pre-med. Mm. And she was like, "Hey, I think that mole on the back of your neck is cancerous.
That.
In fact, I know it is." He got, it was like, you need to get that removed or that's going to spread to your whole body. And the doctor was like, "You are so lucky that we caught this when we did." And she freaking saved his life.
That's amazing.
Because it was a very aggressive form of cancer, of skin cancer.
Yeah. So, maybe
so
this is,
you never know.
Who
could
knows?
Be like, you know.
Get this man to the hospital.
Or who you could be helping out with your
sure. Yeah.
Relief from the pain boner.
Drink water and try to pee it out.
Yeah.
It works every time. It's so weird.
Yeah. Here's a question my friend asked the other day. In fact, she asked this on Instagram, and I was so happy that I got to be the one to come to her rescue. And I actually, this is interesting, I was not the only one who came to her rescue with this answer. My friend asked, "What the heck do I do? I am, you know, like getting older, experiencing hormonal changes. My hair is changing. It's kind of shedding more than I used to see in the past. It's become a problem that I want to do something about, you know?" Mm-hmm. And I was so excited to be able to share with her that we have a wonderful sponsor, Nutrafol, that helps with just that. Like 80 million men and women in the U.S. experience thinning hair. It is not just my friend. And we don't talk about it a lot. I feel like, you know, Jeff, we talk about it for guys, but we don't really talk about it for women. And it's scary and it's stressful. And not being able to talk about it just makes everything worse. So we're here to talk about it a little and provide you with a solution.
Yeah, it is such a weird, shamey thing that we don't talk. Well, I don't know why there's like so much like, "Oh, we can't talk about it and we should feel bad about it." And it's funny because it's like, it's something that we kind of like, it's one of those things that we go online and we search in private. Like we don't let anyone else know that we're struggling with this. But like you said, 80 million men and women, which I feel like is all of the men and women in the world. There can't be more than 80 million. So basically everybody.
I know.
is dealing with this problem, and we should talk about it more. Nutrafol is the number one dermatologist recommended hair growth supplement, clinically shown to improve your hair growth, thickness, and visible scalp coverage for men and for women. And it's not just like your biology that right. affects.
There's so many things.
Yeah, there's so many things.
Like the stress of during the pandemic, mm-hmm. I noticed so much shedding. I'm mm-hmm. just now starting to feel like I have the amount of hair on my head that I used to before then. It's like, geez.
Yeah. And me, like I have like male pattern baldness that runs on my mother's side of the family. Thanks, Mom. This is just sort of like part of my regular routine so I can have this long, luscious, beautiful head of hair. Doesn't it look amazing, Sarah?
It does. And you never guess.
I know, you never would. But you know what? You can guess because we should talk about it more often, right? We are here to talk about it all the time. So you can grow thicker, healthier hair like me and Sarah and support our show by going to Nutrafol.com and entering the promo code CHANGES to save $10 off your first month subscription. This offer is only available to U.S. customers for a limited time. Plus, free shipping on every order. Get $10 off at Nutrafol.com, spelled Nutrafol.com. Promo code CHANGES.
Yeah.
Okay, the next question. Enough about pain boners. Yeah. What is it, Sarah?
Oh, next question. My partner and I both want to have more sex, but neither of us want to initiate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a problem.
Yeah. So there's this, it sounds like there's like the desire is there, mm-hmm. but mm-hmm. the motivation to there's some like hurdle, some barrier that's getting in the way that makes that not happen.
What do you think is getting in the way? And I imagine we've probably all have felt this to a certain degree of like wanting to have sex, but feeling afraid to initiate. What do you think is coming up for them?
So there's two things. It could be some fear around that. Like, is there a fear around initiating and mm-hmm. some anxiety there that mm-hmm. I'm maybe going to get rejected or something like that. But I'm also thinking about when I lived with, who I lovingly refer to as my COVID boyfriend. Eli and I both dated people like during the pandemic and we call it my COVID girlfriend, COVID boyfriend. So my COVID boyfriend and I, because it was the pandemic, and of course there are a lot of factors here, but we were playing a lot of video games and there would be times where I wanted to have sex and we both were like, yeah, we should do that. That'd be fun. No reason not to. And it was like the video games seemed like more exciting than that. And it's not even like sex was bad. It's not even that. It's that the dopamine hit that you can get from the way some video games are designed, mm-hmm. like makes me lose interest in that. So like, what are you doing instead of having sex? What that maybe you, when you like that
way
is
to look at it. Mm-hmm.
Just one question that I would like to ask.
What video game were you playing?
Oh my God, it's so silly, too. Two, I was playing Tony Hawk Pro Skater like a crazy
classic.
Person.
Yes.
Isn't it good?
Yes,
so, like, so good. I remember it was in like junior high when that first came out. And mm-hmm. My mom was working and she was in the film industry. And she'd be gone on like shoots and stuff during the day. And I like called myself in from school sick, pretending to be her for like a week, and I beat the game and I like loved Tony Hawk so much. And now they came out with like the revamped version of
so good.
1 and 2, and you know I had to beat that shit and then beat it with every single character. I went crazy. So Tony Hawk Pro Skater, and then there was this game that was a game where you had a little character and you tried to get through a maze to the other end. And it was a game that was online. So you played with a bunch of other people.
Oh, it was really popular.
It was really popular. I was crazy for this game.
What was that name? What was the name of the game?
And racing for a crown in that game was more exciting than any sex I was having. Maybe ever. Like, if you play that game, you would know. like, shit, that was fun.
That was a very pandemic game that everybody was into that all of our listeners are screaming at us now about, like, the name of the game. And I'm sorry, I will not be able to remember
that game. Me neither.
And we're not even going to look it up.
I want to say, like, bust a move, but that's not it.
That's so off.
And it's bang, bang, bang. It's like three word, like, maybe. I don't know, actually, at all. I have no idea.
You don't know.
No, I don't know. So, yeah, that was what was...
Guys, I'll edit this out, but do you want me to...
No, it's more fun to have people yell at the two. Okay. Yeah. But what is that called for us?
Is it Fall Guys?
Yes!
Was it Fall Guys? All this out there. Where they were like, yeah, yes! It was Fall Guys.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. Oh, everybody's yelling right now. That's fun. No, you should keep that. That's the best.
You want people to know that it's Fall Guys?
I feel like I want in future episodes Andrea to be able to be like, guys, that's called Fall Guys, and then just have the, oh my god, that's right. Just leave all of it in there and just let
I also think that Andrea, our producer, she did not even have to look that up. She's playing Fall Guys right now. She's getting the high scores.
I mean, the game is good enough, and you know.
Yeah.
Anyways, that was what I was playing. And so that's one of the things that's, and I remember having a thought of like, well, I could do that, but that requires way more work than this does.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I got a little lazy.
Yeah. Yeah.
I just wanted to reach for the thing that was the closest to me and the easiest way to.
Well, what do you think about for this question? How do you feel about scheduling sex, putting it on the calendar? You're pro?
Yes, I'm pro. Mm-hmm. I'm pro. And I think there are ways that you can even make that exciting. Like, you can, like, if you know when it's going to happen, then in the morning, like, mm-hmm. Oh, guess what today is?
Yeah, exactly.
Here's what I'll be thinking about all day. What are you going to be thinking about?
Yeah. I think that if you put it on this, I'm pro putting on the schedule because we schedule things that are important to us.
Yes.
And sex is important. So this makes sense. And I encourage you all, like, if you're going to do sex in the evening or before dinner, which I suggest, fuck first before you eat.
Eli listened to that advice, by the way, and he said, that is the best advice and the thing that I needed the most from this book. It's like, we need to do it before we go out, and then I won't have an upset tummy. And I was like,
good. Please do that.
Okay, so yes, back to the question. Sorry. Do it before.
But flirt the whole day, like Sarah's saying, like, be really flirty. However, if you schedule sex and you start to feel like there's pressure and you actually don't really want to do it, but you do it anyways, that's not the goal here. Like, that's not working. So maybe take it off the schedule or have a talk about it or something.
Scheduling it in order to carve out time for it, in order, like you said, to make it a priority, but not scheduling it because, like, it's a dentist appointment or something.
Right.
Like, you don't want to be unless you love going to dentists, with both Jeff and I do. So that was a very bad example. But, you know, whatever you don't want to do.
Dentistry is your kink.
Like, I don't know. Whatever the proctologist does. Right. Unless that's your kink, in which case.
Which we're not shaming. We're not yucking your gum. Yeah. Right. Go for it. Yeah.
Never.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
So scheduling sex also, there's probably a fear of rejection here. So, talking about how, like, you will get rejected sometimes. This is a very natural thing to happen in relationships, and you want to make sure that you and your partner or partners reject each other in a very compassionate, sweet way. So it's not just like, no, get out of here, right? It's like, oh, like, thank you, I love this, I'm not in the mood now, let's do it later, I can't wait. Where it's just sort of like, you know, a nice little, like, I see that you're being vulnerable, I'm acknowledging that sort of message. Thank you for doing this. There's also... sometimes, like, there's a little, like, a fun little game that I like to play with my partners is we say, like, we both want to have sex.
Mm-hmm.
And so what we're going to do is we're going to go into separate rooms and we're going to just start like warming ourselves up.
Yeah, I like this game.
Yeah. So you get like really turned on. You start masturbating or watching porn if you want, whatever. And then after, then you set a timer for 10 minutes or 15 minutes. Oh. And when that 15 minutes is up, you both go to each other and just fucking go for it. Like
That's
you're
great.
So revved up and excited to get going. Yeah, it's a fun thing to do.
Because it takes the first everybody is on board. To do the same thing. Mm-hmm. You know, what could be difficult is when one person, usually when one person's initiating, it's because they've had sex on their mind. And if, you know, you've been thinking about it, maybe you've been thinking about it for 15 minutes, which is like 15 minutes more than I've had to rev up the engine.
Yeah,
so
totally. Exactly.
I'm a little bit behind. I got it, you know, and yeah. it makes it, that helps ensure that you guys are both, maybe not on the exact same page, but at least like same.
Yeah. You're like really ready to go. Like you yeah. really want to do it.
Yes.
And then if you feel, I've done this before. I don't know if you feel comfortable doing this in your relationship, but it's fun. Like, so you like watch porn individually. You do the sex. It's like, great. It's hot. And then the sex ends and there's like aftercare where you're doing cuddles, whatever. If you're feeling open and brave enough, I like to go through my girlfriend or partner's porn search history. What the hell were you looking at? What were you looking for? And I see some truly bizarre things that I had no idea that they were into, or that it was even like a porn thing.
Yeah.
Like one of the ones that I
really?
Found.
Okay.
And I like didn't judge it. It's just like, oh, this is an interesting thing that I didn't know exist. Was ruined orgasms. Do you know what that is?
Oh my God, I can imagine. That seems like my nightmare.
Where like you get somebody, and it's mostly dudes, I guess, where like you get them to the yeah. point of orgasm. They're about to do it. And then you just like back off and yeah. you like, and then they like orgasm and are really like, oh no, that wasn't very good. But like I came and they're like mad and disappointed.
Oh.
And then the girl's like, haha.
Like, oh yeah, I'm into that. Because I'm also into like edging that whole thing. Like I feel like I want to wield all the power.
Uh-huh.
I decide.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So, I'm like, oh, you didn't like that? Yeah, no,
I was like, interesting. How do we integrate this into yeah. our sex life? Yeah.
She wants to okay.
You want to ruin some orgasms? Let's go for
yeah,
it.
Let's do it.
yeah, whatever.
Yeah, I like it. I also am a fan of saving clips that I would like to.
Oh, yeah, sure.
And it's interesting that my partner's interests have changed what I'm looking for.
Oh,
yeah.
Because
it knowing
feels like,
what he's really into is uh-huh. like, oh.
It's a real vulnerable thing to allow somebody to, like, learn what porn you're looking for.
Yeah.
Like, that is something you definitely keep private or that we're told to keep private. But if you can share that with somebody, it's very exciting.
I shared mine on the Brain Candy podcast, so I might as well share it on here. My number one, massage porn.
Oh, God. Love is it so who's giving the massage is it
the
like,
guy
the guy
or
giving,
not it doesn't have to be a guy just somebody that has to be
massage.
Adequate in massage for me that is an important
it's got to be believable
yeah don't just be like oh because then I'll focus on how that wouldn't feel good I'm like oh stop with the light like if they're touching her wrong mm-hmm. don't do that mm-hmm. so it's got to be like the good like somebody who is a masseuse first and then
first.
Doing it later like that comes second
there's along with those ones there's like a long build up too
yeah you know? That's what I like and it's yeah, just yeah. And there's almost like an appreciation of the body
almost like and, a worshiping sort
yes
of.
And yeah. then there's oil involved and I like it slippery in the, my videos
We're being so vulnerable
know,
on this,
fine.
Talking about all the secret things. Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So, what would it be? Oh my God! I know Sarah like looks yeah. at somebody getting her shoulders rubbed. Okay.
No big deal.
Right. So that's my favorite, and
I love that.
It has been great that sometimes when it feels like nighttime, you know, when Eli's like maybe ready to go, and maybe I'm like too busy in my mind, and I just am not going to reach that. Point, I ask for a back massage instead.
Mm-hmm.
And that to me like checks the same box in a weird way. I'm like, I'm relaxed. I feel so amazing. I'm ready for sleep.
Huh. Easy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So there you go. You know, before this episode, we were talking about, you know, our sponsors and what ads we had. And I started singing about Wild Grain. And Jeff was like, oh, you're going to do a jingle? And I said, maybe. Because I love Wild Grain enough to sing my own jingle to it. I probably do that. Like, I sing about things that I really like or really enjoy. And 100% I do a little dance every time I eat my Wild Grain bread. Because that stuff is on another level.
I know. It really is. Sarah is being honest. She does love Wild Grain. She talks about it off the podcast to me all the time. This is like truly one of her favorite things.
It really
because,
is.
And
it's bread.
It's bread.
And it's delicious bread. It's and you haven't even bread. Like, it's like I'm taking something that you already love and then making it like I'm the one who's doing it. Wild Grain is doing this, not Sarah.
No,
but I feel like it's
credit.
Me. You know what? I feel like it's me because I'm baking it because they come half baked, par baked, and you just put them in the oven. You set your oven to like, it's like 400 degrees, whatevs. And for like, in like 25 minutes, it feels like I baked it and it smells like I baked it and it looks like I baked it, but I did not bake it. So
I feel like Wild Grain would be okay with you taking credit with the bacon.
I think so
like
too.
They're a very lovely company that makes very delicious bread. And it's that kind of bread for me personally that like I could eat that bread and I'm not going to feel sick. Like that's my experience
with
it. It
doesn't have all that processed crap in it.
Exactly.
Can I say crap? Will they let me do that? Hope
they, they're really hip and cool. They're totally fine with it. So you should, we recommend that you get those breads. You get the Wild Grain breads, put it in the oven for 25 minutes and then tell all your friends that you baked it yourself. It's a lie, but it is worth it. Like you will get so many more friends because of your very tasty bread.
It's so good.
Okay, so for a limited time you can get $30 off the first box plus free croissants in every box. My favorite thing that they send me is chocolate croissants.
Now and then you get a box with that in it.
Oh, God, it's so good. So when you go to wildgrain.com/TCE to start your subscription, you'll get $30 off. You heard me. Free croissants in every box and $30 off your first box when you go to wildgrain.com/TCE. That is wildgrain.com/TCE. Or you can use the promo code TCE at checkout. You're welcome. Sarah, we're going to jump to the speed round.
Oh my gosh, we are. Look at that.
20 minutes left. I'm going to force you to, I mean, with consent, enthusiastically, hopefully, to answer these questions in a very, very brief way. Like one or two, maybe three sentences.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Like we each get, I'll see. We'll see how it goes. Okay.
We can go back and forth. Or we can.
Back and forth.
Okay. So the first one is for you.
Okay.
And some of these are going to be like ridiculously hard to give very short answers to. The first one, how do I accept my partner's past that has been wild? You know what? We're going to skip that.
I'm going to give you a quick answer though.
Oh, you want
to use that as foreplay and be excited. Like, oh my gosh, she knows so much more. Teach me, wise one.
Okay. That was a really great answer. What's the next one?
All right. How do you dirty talk with someone when they enjoy talking about things that don't turn you on?
Before I answer this, I'm sorry because this might make it long. I don't even understand this question. Are they trying to do dirty talk, but they're talking about like doing the dishes or something? Are they talking about?
No, I think they're talking about sexy stuff that person's not into. Like, ooh, yeah, I want to like put it in that where the proctologist goes.
I see where the proctologist and, where the dick doctor goes.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, and then you're like, ugh.
That makes sense. All right. Okay. Yeah. So quick, short answer. When they do say something that's really sexy and turns you on, say, ooh, I want to hear more about that. More of that, please.
Oh,
so positive reinforcements only.
Jeff, I like that.
Sarah, can sexual chemistry be built when it's not there in the first place?
I think yes. I think it is not something that has to be right away. Now, if you're repulsed by the person, I don't think all of a sudden you're going to find them attractive. But I think attraction, there are so many ways to be attracted to somebody. And see that person in their element doing the thing that they love the most, that's when you're probably going to be most attracted to them. And if you aren't then it's probably not the person for you.
That could have just been a yes, but that was a Sarah yes. Yes.
I think technically that was one sentence.
Was that a really long run-on sentence?
We'll have to go to the judges, but
okay.
This is difficult. Okay, here we go. Is sex that important? I love my partner, but I don't care much about sex.
Yes. I think sex is really important. The caveat is that, like, if you and your partner both agree that it's not as important, then I love that for you.
And asexual people are a thing.
Asexual people are a thing. So, like, yeah, no shame if you, but I think that, like, in general, I'd say it's important. Sarah, how do you get over the ick of your partner moaning weirdly?
I feel like this is the hardest one.
This is.
How do you get over the ick of your partner?
Have you ever?
Oh, go ahead. I mean, yeah. If we're going to do this is a speed round, loud music.
Drown them out.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Whenever they start moaning, just turn up the music.
Yeah.
On your stereo.
That's like kind of behavior. You can probably train.
They'll get the message. That. They'll get the message that you don't want to hear their moans.
Yeah, what if they just moan louder? Over the, ah! And also, I want to know what bad moaning sounds like. That's funny.
Oh,
sometimes
God.
When I'm really enjoying it, it sounds really weird.
Well,
just
so
very deep.
Here's the thing. I have gotten a version of this. Like somebody told me, so not so much, oh, maybe this was like a nice way, maybe I was moaning badly. Because somebody told me, like, okay, Jeff, like when you're going down on me, it seems like you're enjoying it so much that it takes me out of the moment.
That is a nice way.
And like I'm enjoying it by like kind of like making moany noises. And so it's like, cool, well then I'm not gonna. And so that was, did she not? Now I have a fucking, I'm gonna ask my current girlfriend how.
Okay. Eli told me that I made weird noises the first time. Like he was doing really good. And sometimes if it, like I make this like very like low, he's like, it was so, your moans went so low. I almost like was like concerned. Like I if it didn't change, I was didn't know I was going to be into that. So I think I rode the line of.
Yeah. A low moan.
Mm-hmm. And not intent. Maybe I don't know. Not on purpose. Could you imagine? That's what I want to sound, trying to sound like. No, I don't know what I sounded like, but okay. I think we covered that one.
Yeah, it was a little long, but that's okay.
Next, my face gets red during sex. How do I not feel insecure about it?
So I used to be in a relationship with somebody when their face got red during sex. And I really enjoyed knowing exactly how turned on they were. I loved the feedback. Own it.
I mean, a positive reframe. That is a good thing. You are in flush and.
Yeah. It turned me on seeing that they were turned on. Like it's hot. I love it for
you. Isn't that funny
you.
How so many things that people often feel very insecure about that are like moaning loudly. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, your face getting flush or my body jerks sometimes. And I feel like I've like, what, who cares? Like, you know, just like
whatever
weird ways. And oh my God. It. Yeah. Everybody does weird things. I mean, the one that's really terrible is sometimes I cry. I think, you know, that I can't help.
It's not terrible. That's not terrible.
It's Sarah. Not. It's like, it's emotion. It's like an emotional very release sweet. And then tears come out and I just like, aww. God, I wish I could stop that. But I think younger version of me would have been very, if she were actually having good sex, would have been very embarrassed about crying afterwards.
Yeah.
But now I'm like, no, you just do your thing. That's a sign that everybody's having a good time in a weird way. So let that face get red. Okay.
Next question for you. It is, why do I feel guilty for saying no, even if they don't pressure me about it?
I got the answer. The patriarchy.
That's a good short
period.
Answer. That is accurate. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. You should not feel guilty about that. A no is a complete sentence. Mm-hmm. And anybody who makes you feel guilty or adds to that guilt, because like societal pressures can just have us make us have those feelings. It's got to go. Bye. Yeah.
Yeah. Good job.
Yes. Okay. Why is sex on the third date accurate? Well, first of all, accurate.
Because the patriarchy.
Right. Yeah.
I think that's why.
Same answer. See above.
Yeah, exactly. Why is it? Sure. The patriarchy and there's some weird societal pressure method, that like we're supposed to do it. It's fucking dumb. Don't do it or do it. I don't care.
Yeah, who care? There must be some place that this originated. Where does
this originate?
You know? Because there always are, that if you look, but there's always like some article that was written that became like the buzzword for, you know, maybe fact-checked it.
How long have you like a midlife heard of crisis? This, Sarah? Has this been a thing like your whole life? Like we all know ever since we started dating? Because this wasn't, I don't think this was a thing until I like became an adult.
I agree.
You know, I don't know if it was a thing when I was...
It feels like some movie like Swingers did this to us. Oh,
it does feel like a Swingers thing.
Right? Like that era, like something where it was when I was younger. Well, maybe I just wasn't dating. I wasn't hearing that. But
it does feel sort of connected to like, you know, you don't call them until 5 days later or three days later.
Yeah.
Like all
what
these
was that,
rules.
That, oh, there was that horrible time period in like the early aughts that was like that guy with the hat. What the fuck was his name? What was his name? Everybody's screaming this one. This is a Sarah specialty, by the way. You know, if you're in a relationship with me, you get this all the time. Mm-hmm. I keep wanting to say the Masked Singer. That's obviously not it. The dating, he was like a guy who helped men.
And he had a hat. Yeah.
No, he would wear funny outfits. Like that was his whole thing. And he taught these guys. He was like a wingman. And he wrote a book on.
Was it called The Rules? Or was it? Oh, God. We're so annoying everybody that's listening.
And he always said, like, you have to insult them. Like, say something insulting
to them.
Them?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
It was that.
Mm-hmm.
I'll never remember his name. Or sorry, maybe I do. I think it is Mystery or something. It's something fucking stupid. That guy was an idiot. Don't listen to
So you
to
think
anything.
Maybe he came up
he
with
that. He's like the anti-Jeff.
We hate an anti-Jeff, yeah.
For real.
Anyways. I don't know. I mean, yeah. Why is sex on the third date accurate? Patriarchy and this fucking guy. Okay, Sarah.
Yes.
I am a horrible gagger and hate giving BJs. My hubby is upset. What do I do?
Okay. Well, sometimes the gagging is the exciting part for them. Mm-hmm. Just ask him. He may be really into that.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Oh my God. There are so many things that I want to overshare on here about. I would use like a hypothetical. I really need to invent a very open friend who like shares a bunch of stuff. And this is like sometimes the things that you think you have to do with one person, you don't have to do with anything with anybody, but you think like another person, really likes, the other person might not like. So, and that there are many ways to S-A-D. There's more than one way to suck a dick. That is funny. That's like, embroider that on a pillow.
Uh-huh.
I just think that
you don't have to go deep.
Anything.
You don't have to go that
you
deep.
Don't.
No. And it's all like a lot of, you know, like all the nerve endings are like at the tip. Just focus on the tip and like use your hand in a,
that
you know,
deep
like,
thing is like about power and control.
It does feel like it's about power and control.
And like what this is like for you, for him. So, you know, beggars can't be choosers. Is what I say to him. I got some good ones in there.
Okay, yeah, those are good ones. Okay.
Imagine if I had to answer that question and I had more time. We'll be here all day. I could do a whole episode.
That's a whole episode.
Okay. Next question. How do you stop having fantasies about a crush you're trying to not have a crush on?
How do you stop? It's tricky because it feels like sometimes fantasies are involuntary. But I think they're voluntary. I think you just train yourself whenever you start to fantasize about whoever your crush is, switch it to some other person.
Yeah. Maybe you got to build a pretend person in your mind that's even cooler than that crush.
Get a crush on somebody else, basically. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Totally. Yeah. Okay.
Sarah, how do you get over feeling selfish for wanting to orgasm?
With time and with reminding yourself that again, it's the patriarchy. Mm-hmm. And you do not need to feel guilty about that. And letting, yeah, I think talking to yourself and giving yourself permission, it's going to take a while. And as like letting go of those ideas do, but lucky for you, the more orgasms you have and the more you give yourself permission, the less that feeling of selfishness for having them will be. So
There you go.
There you go. Jeff, is it normal for men to not be in the mood all the time?
Again, let's blame the patriarchy here.
Yeah, actually, this is how the patriarchy is affecting men and hurting men, not just women and how women experience sex.
Right.
Yes.
It is extremely 100% normal for men not to be in the mood all the time. Yes, definitely.
It feels like communication and the patriarchy could be the answer to basically all the questions we've ever asked or gotten on your
Sarah. My man was texting when I went down on him. Help
get out what on not appropriate.
No.
He was texting when you went down on, absolutely,
would you stop right away?
Right away.
Wouldn't you? Yeah.
I'd be like, oh, I see there are other things you'd like to be doing right now. Well, you can do those.
Yeah.
Or I'd be like, oh, does your phone also suck your dick? I would say something like that.
I would fucking knock that goddamn phone.
Yeah, like, then you can fuck the phone.
I would fucking kickflip Tony Hawk that fucking phone out of their goddamn hand. Are you kidding me?
Oh, yeah. That, I feel like, isn't Kim Kardashian in her sex tape, didn't she? Or was it Paris Hilton? One of them in a sex tape answered a phone. I swear this happened. And I was like, that would have done it for me. I would have been like, no, I'm sorry. We can't have sex. You answered the phone.
Okay, hold on. This has happened to me before.
Wait, I know what you're saying, and it's different. It was like, I don't think she answered the phone like, hi, hello. That could be hot.
It can be a hot thing if they're sort of like, ooh, should I answer it? Like, you're inside of me. Yeah. Someone's calling me.
Yeah, unless it's like any relative, in which case, let it go to voicemail.
Exactly. That's not hot. No. No, but this is not. No, that's not okay.
Yeah, he cannot do that. No. So, okay, Jeff, if my date goes down on me without them asking me to, do I have to go down on them?
Again, patriarchy, I would say. No, of course. No. It's a 100% no. Just, I mean, it's great that
unless this is a male asking the question, in which case, yes, you
what
go
the fuck is
down
wrong
on her
with you?
And you take your snorkel. Be there for a while. And that's, I'm just kidding.
Just hang
I'm
out.
Totally kidding. I mean, I'm just saying there is an orgasm inequality, orgasm
there's
gap.
There's an orgasm gap. That is true. So. I'm imagining that this question is being asked, like, if my date, as it, like, it's a new, this is like very new, and they're
and
all of a
both ways. You don't have to do that.
You obviously do not have to do it. That being said, we should think about reciprocity and make sure that everybody gets their thing, right?
It's kind of like if somebody brought flowers on the first date. Does it mean you have to bring flowers? No. But would it be nice? Like, would somebody appreciate that if you did it back? Or like, then yes.
Yeah. It's also similar to like, oh, we went on a date and he paid for me. Should I sleep with him now? Like,
no.
Because he did this, I should do this.
You should not do that.
Of course you shouldn't fucking
definitely
do that. No.
You shouldn't feel, but
yeah. Sarah.
Yes.
I am horny and single, but prefer sex with someone I'm comfortable with. Mm. How do I manage?
You don't have sex.
That,
because I know what people want to say. They want to be like, oh, you have sex with somebody that's like a friend and you do that. No, don't do that. That's messy. I have yet to see a situation where people have been friends for a long time and then like decide, oh, we're just going to have like some casual sex and then like meet some and then go back to like being regular people. Like works out without any really difficult conversations at some point.
I like that answer. Yeah. Go have sex with yourself.
Yeah, have sex with yourself. Find somebody to get comfortable with. But that is, there are things that we get when we're in a relationship, and there are things that we don't get when we're in a relationship. Things in positive, negative.
Exactly. Yeah.
The end. Okay. How long between round one and round two? Respectfully asking.
I mean,
this does feel like it's geared towards us to answer when it says respectfully asking. Respectfully when it's like, listen, how long do you take between men? Me, 30 seconds. I'm
yeah, you're ready to go. I mean, if you're having sex with me in the morning, then I can go round one, two, and three, all because I'm not orgasming, maybe. So, like, we can just keep on going for it. But you're probably asking, like, if I've had an orgasm, how long do we have to wait between round one and round two? Sometimes it's 30 minutes. Sometimes it's... you know, half the day. It really depends. And this is a personal question for everybody. So my answer is not going to be the same as everyone else's answer.
Yeah. And I believe it's called a refractory period.
It is called that. Yes. That's right.
And if this were not a speed round, then I would have all the information on the range.
You guys are all missing out. I'm so sorry. What a bummer. Cause we're out of time. So we're going to have to stop here.
Oh, that was exact.
I know we did really good timing on this.
Really well.
Episode.
It's because Jeff was in charge of that.
Yeah, exactly.
Not me. So.
That's right. Okay.
All right, friends. Thank you so much for joining us. Make sure you leave us a 5-star review and send us your sexy questions or all your questions. We love answering them. And we are always taking questions in our DMs. We'll see you on the next one.
Okay. Bye.